From APM, I'm Ben Johnson, and this is Marketplace Tech. If you know nothing else about what the OG computer company IBM does in the days of Apple, Samsung, and Lenovo, you know they have this thing called Watson, which crushes at Jeopardy.
Watson?
Who is Agatha Christie?
Correct.
Watson has been all over the place. It's in healthcare. It's got its own cookbook. It's in toy making. Heck, just the other day on our show, we featured Watson's contributions to generating tennis highlights from Wimbledon. However, as IBM prepares to announce earnings this afternoon, there's a growing chorus of people, investors among them, saying Watson isn't really pulling in the money for IBM that it's supposed to. We wanted to explore the skepticism with the author of a pretty harsh equity research report out from the investment banking firm Jefferies. The author of that report is James Kistner, who generously joined us while on vacation and waiting for a flight in the Cancun airport. James, thanks for talking.
My pleasure.
So what is the real purpose of Watson for IBM's business?
Well, I mean, I think IBM recognizes, like everyone else, that artificial intelligence is a really, you know, important trend. But I guess the fact of the matter is it's not a very big contributor to revenue right now. And they talk about it disproportionately relative to the current size of that business.
Yeah. So why isn't it working out by your judgment?
Watson is a very finicky eater. Watson needs data to work, and IBM has a very strict process for curating, preparing that data for analysis to create AI algorithms. And so in many cases, you know, it requires a lot of consulting work, that there can be, you know, many times more dollars spent on just the services associated with an AI deployment. And that just really creates a very high price tag for a lot of customers. That's just really prohibitive when there are potentially other cheaper ways to do this available.
Is part of this about how companies that would be IBM's clients might actually not want to share their data in this way, either for security or competition reasons, like Amazon?
I mean, really, there are two major factors for sustainable competitive advantage in AI. You know, that's data and talent. In the case of Amazon, you know, Amazon has tremendous amounts of data from their retail business, their online retail business. And of course, they're not going to share that with IBM because really they're a competitor with the public cloud, with Amazon Web Services. You know, Google's another, Microsoft is another. But one thing we also noted in our analysis is there's a really big war for talent, and Amazon has, you know, roughly 10 times the listings for AI that IBM has right now. So between data and talent, we both of those, it's going to make it a difficult road to hoe for IBM to compete here.
James Kistner, he is lead analyst for the IT hardware space at Jefferies. James, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
One IBM data venture I was a fan of, by the way, the collaboration with musician James Murphy, who took data from sounds at the U.S. Open and made the music you are hearing now. Not sure how much money they all made off of it, but it sounds pretty darn good to me. Cindy Whitehead is known best for leading Sprout Pharmaceuticals, the company that made Addy. Addy is also known as female Viagra. Whitehead sold her company to the pharmaceutical giant Valeant for $1 billion in 2015. Now she wants to help other female entrepreneurs with a tech incubator called Pinkubator. It's based in Raleigh, North Carolina, and Whitehead joins me from there. Hi, Cindy.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. So we know there aren't enough female entrepreneurs. How does the Pinkubator address this?
Well, you know, we tackle sort of two of the injustices that I feel female entrepreneurs face. One is access to capital. Last year, female entrepreneurs only got 2% of venture capital, according to PitchBook. So on that front, we make early bets on women with money. And the other piece is mentorship. You know, I'm very fortunate to have built two businesses to successful exits. And I think that gives me an opportunity to pay it forward with other women and teaching them all the mines that I stepped on along the way.
Both of your businesses have pink in the name. You wear pink.
Yeah,
pink is obviously a big part of your brand.
Yes.
Are you worried that by picking such a traditional feminine theme, you'll turn away some people, including women?
It is possible, but you know what? They're probably not best suited with me. So here's my philosophy on pink. I do wear pink all of the time, and it is deliberate because I think that in conversations, particularly around gender stereotypes and some of the, you know, gender issues we have, you can either dig your heels in and go away from the stereotypes, or you can go right toward them. And I guess if you have my personality, you go right toward them, because that's the conversation we need to be having. You know, for me, I look at pink as something that, frankly, through underestimation of women in business, women can lose their pink. That's what I say. You lose that sense of confidence, or you actually sort of, you know, reel back in frustration, or you can harness that and you can become unapologetic or unapologetically pink.
What's a tech invention or innovation that the world hasn't seen yet that you think only a woman could create?
I'll tell you one that a woman has created. She's created a flushable pregnancy test. That's one of the Pinkubator companies. And I think it would really be a woman who would create it. And frankly, her patent and her technology will have application far beyond just pregnancy tests. It'll have important application in diagnostics. But I think that's a woman's lens that got there.
Cindy Whitehead, she's the CEO of the Raleigh-based incubator known as the Pinkubator, which is run by her venture capital firm, The Pink Ceiling. Cindy, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And quickly before we go, the other day we were talking about Amazon creating a team of technicians to visit you in person and help you with your smartphone. Well, Best Buy, known for its Geek Squad, took a hit in trading the same day that was announced. This week, some news broke about an Amazon patent application for a service with this motto: "We do the prep, you be the chef." What does that remind you of? A newly minted public company called, wait for it, Blue Apron. That stock price also took a nosedive yesterday. Welcome to the big leagues, I guess. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.